So a year or so ago, my family and I were on vacation, and my kids suckered me into going surfing with them. And so we go to this beach, and we hire an instructor because we wanted to make sure that we did it right. And so we hire this guy named Sharky, and he was a complete surfer dude, you know, long hair. It looked like he was Prince Charming out of Shrek. And he called me Daddy-O. He had the whole shtick down. It was pretty cool. So we go out for a few hours surfing, and you know, I think you could call what I was doing surfing. I mean, it was a struggle, but it was exhausting. It was after a couple of hours, I was just beat. And my son, who was able to do it and do it well, even he was, after 2 hours, he was so exhausted, his head was about to explode. I've never seen him with this much pain, and so much so that we stopped the lesson early. And so we're on the beach, and we're just trying to take care of Tommy. And we're saying, Sharky, what's up with this? Why is it so hard for us? I don't understand. This guy's in really good shape, yet it took him out. And Sharky said, dude, real surfers, they don't surf like you guys. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I got that part, but help me understand that. And he said, real surfers, it's all about the experience. You just go out and you spend the day and you're with friends and you just relax. And you can go out for 10, 12 hours and only take 3 or 4 waves. You guys were doing 3 or 4 waves every minute. That's why it was so hard for you guys. Like, oh, well, that makes sense to me. And so for me, that helped me understand what it was to have a relationship with God. Is sometimes we have to paddle out and we just have to ride the wave in. And whatever that wave looks like, God's providing the power, and it's our job just to ride the wave in. And a lot of times we get caught up as people who are trying to follow Jesus, is taking every wave, and we just wear ourselves out. And the reality is, God's providing the power, and maybe it's our job just to wait on the Lord. Just wait on the right wave.
Look at that freaking wave. Are you kidding me? It's like he's surfing on a tidal wave. My goodness. I'm watching that. I'm thinking, man, I need to get myself surfing out there. I've never surfed before. There's something powerful about water. Water is imagery that really goes throughout the entire Bible. And we're going to be looking at that imagery today and as it relates to the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray right now. God, I pray that your Spirit would be doing great things inside this room right now. And I know that we have all different kinds of perspectives, all different kinds of backgrounds in here, all different kinds of spiritual convictions and orientations. But I pray that where we are, you would give us a true glimpse of reality, of your nature, and that you would help me to be a good spokesperson for your truth. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, you know, I wonder what Jesus would say would be the best day of his life. I think I have a sense of what it is. Jesus went through life as a process the way we did, as we looked in this series. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. So just as he went through a physical growth process, he had to go through a wisdom growth process, growing in awareness of who he was and actually growing in power. And if Jesus grew, while he never made a mistake, while he never sinned, because only God could not do that, well, if Jesus grew, we have to grow. And we by nature are not spiritually mature people. There's a place to get to be spiritually mature. And today we're going to end this whole series with what the fifth mark is of what it looks like to be spiritually mature. Again, all of us can grow. All of us can go to new places. But we're trying to give us awareness of what baseline is for what somebody is who is spiritually mature. And this moment from Jesus' life, I think, is an amazing moment. It's one that many of us would long to have. And it happens with water. We have water around. Water, we see in the Bible, God parting water. We see things such as water coming down from heaven, floods. We see here now Jesus being baptized in water, and he's being baptized by his cousin, also known as John the Baptist. And here's what it says in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." A lot of stuff happening here. For starters, one of the things that we see here is an example of what the Trinity is, a very heady, difficult to understand concept of God being one, yet in three persons. We see the Trinity here. We see Jesus, the Son of God, present, obviously. We hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," God the Father. And we see the Spirit descending on him like a dove. We see three persons in the same place at the same time. And we see today, I believe, the greatest day in Jesus' life. I think if he were to say, if I could go back to one day, this would be it. Because he hears what all of us want to hear from our earthly father. All of us would love to hear, and I've never heard it, I would love to hear my dad say to me, "Brian, gosh, I'm pleased with you. Well done, you're doing well, son. Brian, well done, I'm pleased with you. Awesome, I'm proud of you." All of us would love to hear that from our dad. And if you're sitting there right now going, "No, I wouldn't. No one would want to hear that." Well, it's because you haven't heard it and you're bitter towards him right now. But all of us long to hear that. And Jesus hears this thing. We don't know if everybody heard it. We know he heard it. And in another account of this, it seems that John heard it as well. We don't know how broadspread it was, but he had an indistinguishable understanding that, man, God is pleased with me. And interestingly, from this point on, this is when the miracles really start. This is when the great teaching starts. This is when the power happens. This is when his amazing doing works takes place. So one thing to see from this is belonging comes before doing. When I belong in relationship with God, that propels the doing. This is one of the things that this book speaks of that is different than every spirituality, every religion, either present or past, every single one, every spirituality and religion other than the principles represented in this book, say something like this: the gods must be angry, you must work your way out of it. You must even out the scales, you must come to enlightenment. You must go to a new level. You must earn your way. You must atone for your sin. You must do penance. You must do that. You must be, it's all you do. And if you do enough, then God says, "Okay, I'll have you. I'll belong with you." But for Jesus, it's entirely different. I belong. I sense God say, because I've received him, "Well done. In you, I'm well pleased." And then it propels actions. This is very important as you take a look at this list of the metrics that we've been using in the series to identify what it is that somebody who's spiritually mature looks like. Let's review these things. Number one, we looked at the very first week, is that I have a recent memory of starting or ending a habit because of Jesus. This means I'm not just about knowledge and insights and emotions. There's tangible and tactile things in my life that's changed, and I can notice it. I see what those things are. Number two was I have friends that have said something to me that has stung me, or said something to me that totally built me up, because this means that I'm not a spiritual isolationist. No man or woman, and especially no spiritually mature person, is an island unto themselves. We need other people. Spiritually mature people are around other people to help them, and they get helped in return. Metric number three, we looked out and said the Bible's my most quoted source when giving advice to others. Not Brian Tome, not Oprah, not my favorite radio personality. No, the Bible. This is the wisdom that's going through me. And so it just naturally comes out. It's not something I say, "Okay, how many times can I quote it today?" No, it's not that, because if you do that, then you will be annoying. No one will want to be around you. It just naturally is flowing through your life. Metric number four is that I've sacrificed for someone else the past week. We looked at the altar of sacrifice, how Jesus, out of love, sacrificed himself for others. And people who are sacrificial people don't even notice that they've been sacrificial. It's just become a way of life where we accept limitations, we put ourselves in a place where God is and where other people can be blessed, and we willingly put ourselves on the table or the altar of sacrifice. And then five, the last one we're looking at today, is I have regularly and spontaneously broken out in prayer to God. I've regularly and spontaneously broken out in prayer to God. Now, notice that all of these things, these are called metrics. These are not methods. These are metrics. If you try to method this, it won't work. This is not going, "Okay, man, I got to quote the Bible. How do I do that?" No, don't do that. Okay, I got to get some people around. How do I get in a small group? Yeah, that's fine. Do that. But, you know, how do I do this? I got to do it. These are not methods. There are things to do that are underneath these that we've been looking at in this series, but these are not methods. Especially we see this fifth one. You can't say, okay, I gotta start methodizing spontaneous prayer. How do I do that? You don't methodize. Is that a word? Methodize? I haven't made one up for a while. You don't methodize spontaneous prayer. You spontaneously pray because you feel like you belong. You feel like you're in a relationship with God. God approves of you. And then it naturally comes out. Recently, I was on a motorcycle, and yes, I ride when it's cold, and I was riding, and I had some of my favorite music to really connect with God, the Dixie Chicks on. I had the Dixie Chicks on, and I'm just going, cowboy, take me away. I'm thinking, man, I need a cowboy to take me away. I do. I love this. And in between these different songs, I find myself saying, God, thank you so much that I get to be on a motorcycle. Thank you that you're just good. You give me moments of pleasure. Thank you that I just went another mile and a deer didn't jump out in front of me. Thank you so much. It's not that I have a list in my mind that says, okay, I haven't said anything to God for about an hour and a half. I ought to say something. No, when you're in connection with God, when you feel God's pleasure, when you feel like you belong, it naturally pops out for you. A couple days ago, last snowstorm we had, I was with a buddy of mine and the roads hadn't been totally cleared and we were coming down this hill. As we came down this hill, there was, I don't know, 3 to 4 people who about age 17 to 19, I'd say, and they were out about 25% into the road, halfway into the opposite lane, and we're coming down this icy, snowy hill, and I'm thinking, this is not good. This is not good. And one of the people was like standing on a snow shovel trying to slide down, and so my friend's driving, he's starting to go slower, and we come by, and I'm looking at these people, and this 17-year-old girl, she looks like she's about 17, she sees me looking at her. She's about, I don't know, she's about 5 feet away, and she says, what are you effing looking at? We keep driving down, and I said, dude, let's go back. I need a pimp smack her right now. Let's get back. Turn back around. He's laughing. He's like, I'm going, man, I guess you're more spiritually mature than I am in this moment because I I had to talk with God in the midst of that thing. I had to talk with God and go, what's going on here? I instantaneously said, man, this is not good, this thing that I feel that's popping. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. I had a person sent me an email recently and said, you're a fraud. They called me a fraud. And there was a day when I would have felt not as secure in my relationship with God and I needed everybody to like me, that I would have really bothered me. But I was instantaneously able to go to God and say, God, I'm thankful that you approve of me. That I love when other people approve of me. That's always good. But I'm thankful that you approve of me and I am your son in whom you are well pleased. See, when you belong, you will naturally start to pray. You'll naturally start to do versus doing and praying in order to have God to accept you. And the way this happens is through the Holy Spirit actually filling us, coming to us, and doing something inside of our life. Jesus puts it this way in the book of John, chapter 7. He says, at the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not glorified. He talks about the Spirit, rivers of living water that's coming through. This right here, the place of sacrifice, if there's no Holy Spirit, if there's no presence of God, it is a hard and dry place. The place of sacrifice, the place of spiritual maturity, the place of belonging with God is a very fertile place. It's a wet place. It's where God's goodness is flowing out. It's where the Holy Spirit is likened to an agent, a separate agent that actually fills us. Comes into our life. The amazing thing is the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the Spirit in the Bible is not something you have to go to a building, you have to go there, you got to go to a holy this. The crazy thing is God says, no, there are certain people who belong to me and I fill them. The temple is your actual body. And no matter how disciplined you were, no matter how much you knew the scriptures, in Jesus' day or before that, nobody in those days has the power, potential that everybody in this room does. You look at the heroes in the Bible, like, oh man, that would be great to do. If those folks didn't have the Holy Spirit, they would not have near the power that you can have right now. In fact, Jesus puts it this way, right before he's about to be arrested and taken away, he says to his friends this. He says, it is to your benefit, your advantage, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The helper, the Holy Spirit's referred to as a helper. It's to your benefit, because right now I'm able to teach you and I'm with you, but actually when I leave, there will be the presence of the Holy Spirit that will actually fill you and help you, give you power that you don't have, give you abilities that you don't have right now, give you stamina that you don't have, give you the powers of recollection that you don't have. See, by belonging to Jesus, by belonging to God, I am able to do because there is a helper, there is a powerful one. I don't do my way to God. I don't do my way and method my way to God approving me. This is very, very critical. It's very, very important to understand this. But at the same time, I can choose to be where the Holy Spirit wants to be or where not. I can choose to abide, filling. When I'm in a place where the Spirit is flowing, where the Spirit is moving, when I'm abiding in this place, rivers of water, rivers of the Spirit can come into me and gush out of me. It's a choice that I make. It's a choice. Look how this is communicated in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. It talks about all these different paradigms. In fact, everybody in here is in one of two places. You are either abiding and belonging, and out of that, the power in your doing comes. You're either in a place where you're being filled with the Spirit, or you are in a place where you are not being filled by the Spirit, which is called normality. In normality, you will do what seems right to you in the moment, and maybe you and I won't experience the flow of the Spirit. So there's all these different metaphors in the Bible. This is referred to walking in the Spirit. This is referred to being in the flesh. This is referred to as the kingdom of God. This is referred to as the world. This is referred to as being filled. This is referred to as being human. Our sinful nature. This is referred to in the Bible as the new man. This is referred to as the old man. There's all these different things basically saying choices that we make to either get in the flow where the Holy Spirit is, or go our way and justify why we are the way we are. Book of Galatians chapter 5 gives some of these paradigms and gives examples of the kind of behaviors that happens in each one of these states. Look what it says, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, flesh and spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things, I think it's orgies, I've never done one of those, so I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you, that's just country funny right there. I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So what we have here is a bunch of examples, attributes, habits that are marked by people who are in the flow of where God's moving, in the flow of where God wants to be, and out of the flow, in and of your own power, in and of your own understanding. And very important to understand that these lists are not necessarily a list of morals. This is not moralism, though there certainly says something to that. This is not about if you do these things, then God will like you. Or if you do those things, then God will you'll be gone and away. That's not to be read that way. It's supposed to be read by marks that indicate where you are and what you're doing. Filling comes from abiding inside of these places. And I can make the decision, with my response to encourage the flow of the Spirit or to get away from the flow of Spirit. I was discouraging the flow of the Spirit when that 17-year-old girl told me to F off. I was discouraging it. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go back to, I had somebody else, I was on a blog recently doing some stuff, and somebody got really weird with me, and it just was really like nasty. And I tell you, for days, I wanted to, I was looking to buy a pair of boots from used boots. This person was really just did not, it was very rude, nasty, because I wasn't offering as much money as he wanted. And so he just got really nasty. And I never like when someone's rude or nasty when they're away from you, because then it's all so easy to be tough. I was like, dude, I'm going to be in Michigan. I want to put my size 12s up your rear end. Tell me where. I kept fantasizing in my mind how I was going to find this guy and just show up and see if he's as tough as he can be when you type something. And I knew as I was doing this, I was rolling these vengeance scenarios over my mind. I was rolling dissensions. I was rolling dissensions in my mind. This was immorality, strife, fits of anger. And I realized, man, this is feeling good, these fantasies, but I'm taking myself out of the flow. I'm taking myself out of the flow, and it was hard for me to pray in those situations. It was hard for me to be patient with people. And it wasn't that God was saying, Brian, I don't like you, I'm leaving you. It's that the environment in my heart, in my life, was an environment that the Holy Spirit did not want to reside in. If you notice, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit as a He. The Holy Spirit has personal pronouns attached to him in the Bible. It's not an aura. It's not a mist. It's not an it. You know, Spirit as an aura mist, well, you never know. It just kind of goes and vanishes. You have no idea what's going on with it. Holy Spirit's a person. And when you get to know somebody, you can figure out what kind of environment that person wants to stay in. Someone's coming over your house, and you get to know their musical styles, you can put that certain track on, and you'll know they'll like it. You can make the certain kind of food they like. Once you get to know somebody, you know what encourages their presence, and then what makes them think, oh man, I got to go, I got to go. And so all these things here are examples of what encourages the Holy Spirit to leave. You know, let's unpack some of these. You know, someone's going, man, I just don't feel God. Well, no duh. Have you ever considered the stuff that's happening sexually for you is just not something that the Holy Spirit wants to be around? It's like fingers on a chalkboard. Have you ever considered that a regular weekend activity of getting drunk is a place that the Holy Spirit does not want to reside in? And then again, it doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean that God says, I'm going to send you to hell. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means if I want the fullness of his presence, I want him to be around. I've got to be in the flow and not choosing things that are on a place where he doesn't want to be. To do this, it's not just choices I make to put myself in the flow. It's not just that. It's also disciplines I do to build myself spiritually. I love how Dallas Willard talks about a spiritual discipline when he says this. Spiritual disciplines are activities we do with our bodies that disrupt the normal flow of habitual thoughts and feelings and make room for the flow of the Spirit. So a spiritual discipline is not something that I do to impress God and say, check it out, I checked off my Bible reading today. Ooh, I checked off going to church today. No, it's not that. It's a physical thing I do to disrupt the normal pattern of my flesh, the normal pattern of the world, in order to be in a place where perhaps the flow of the Spirit may be flowing. And we're going to do that right now. We're going to have some prayer exercise. And sometimes we do this, it's towards the end, and we have plenty of time left today, so don't like check out. Oh, we're almost done. No, we're not. We're going to give prime time to a spiritual discipline right now, where perhaps you may get in the flow and something important may happen in you. Here's a spiritual discipline that I do regularly for myself, and I'll let you in on this. We're going to pray, and I'm going to take you through different environments during your day, and we'll see if the Holy Spirit quickens your mind about things you should remember, things you should be praying about. And as we do this, you're going to find that your mind is going to wander. Two things could be happening. First is, your mind could be wandering because the Holy Spirit could be causing your mind to go a specific place because he wants you to remember something. He wants you to pray something. So don't feel guilty if your mind starts to wander because perhaps you're about to pop up on something that God wants to reveal to you. Or number two, your mind could be wandering simply because we all have a short attention span. Don't beat up yourself to go, oh, I'm not a spiritual person. Don't just go, okay, oh, refocus, come right back to it. No worries, no big deal. And while we do this, one of the physical things I like to do every once in a while, sometimes I'll write my prayers. Sometimes I'll do this exercise with my hands in my lap where if I think of something that causes me to want more of God or I want more of his grace or I just need to receive something from him, I'll put my hands up in the universal gimme position. And then if I think of something that's like, ooh, that's not a good thing. That needs to go. I'll just turn my hands over in the universal emptying position. And so as we go through these things, if you think about something that has caused you, say, God, I want more. I need. Or, I'm sorry, that needs to go. Just do that physical process to help yourself get into the flow of the Spirit. So let's go ahead and do that. Okay, we just wake up first thing in the morning. We've woken up. Let's go to the first place that we go in the house, in the apartment. Spirit, would you guide our hearts, guide our minds, and help us to see what you see and to feel what you feel right now. We go to get in the car. We're going to do the first errand of the day. We're going into work. Spirit, how do you feel when we are in the car with what we're listening to, with what we're saying, with what our conversation is? Speak. Okay, we've arrived at our destination. See in your mind, allow God to take your mind to where you spend most of your day or most of that time, at your desk, your workstation, your drill press, wherever you are. God, would you speak? We wait. Help us to see the people that are in our lives. Help us to see the activities that are taking place. Get home, and what's happening there? Are we recreating? Are we vegging? Doing additional work? God, in this moment and in these days and these times, are we encouraging you to belong? Help us to see. Help us see what's encouraging you and what's discouraging you. Time to go to bed. We turn in. God, as we lay our head to rest, our fleeting thoughts, our final moments, what would you say to us? What pleases you? What grieves you? Spirit, in all these environments, we want to mark our day today as inviting you in and asking your fullness to flow in and through us in every environment we move and operate in. Fill us. I don't know what you thought through or what came into your mind, but I'm pretty certain that most of us had something come into our mind in one of those scenarios. It's something God wants us to do. It's something we're to change. It's something we're to feel. I'm pretty sure there was something. And one of the things that you do to encourage the Holy Spirit to speak to you is that you respond to what he says. I mean, all of us get grieved when we give instruction and it doesn't get heeded. And so one of the things we do is we do things that encourage God to speak. And just sitting in that has caused actually me to be filled, you know? There's stuff that's there to spare that just overflows is there. And when I stay in this place, a place of contentment, a place of abiding while I'm doing normal stuff, while you're doing your job, while you're doing whatever, it's not like you have to go someplace spiritual to abide in God. No, you just have to have his values that encourage him to be making a place inside of your life no matter what you're doing. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32, it gives more of these personality characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Again, spirit or aura, mist, is not grieved. People, persons are grieved. Do not grieve, do not bum out the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's interesting to me that the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove that descends on Jesus. It's not a pigeon that comes on Jesus, it's a dove. Most of us have never seen a dove. It's because doves are very sensitive creatures that the slightest bit of noise, the slightest bit of uncomfortable environment, and they take off. They're sensitive creatures. Pigeons, on the other hand, it doesn't matter what you're doing around them. You're kicking at them, you're spitting at them. Doesn't matter how loud it is. They're around. They're very hardy, and they don't care what you're doing. They're there. And the Holy Spirit is not that way. He's likened to a dove who gets grieved, who gets bothered, who gets bummed out. And again, it's not that he leaves and all of a sudden if you get hit by a bus, you go to hell. No, it's the fullness of his power leaves. He's not into those things that are happening. And a bunch of these things are mentioned here. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamoring for the higher position, clamoring to beat somebody else, slander, versus, man, it is sweet music to his ears when we forgive other people who haven't even asked for forgiveness. Sweet music to his ears. It is sweet music to his ears to be tenderhearted. See, this is not a matter of spiritual elbow grease. You can't spiritual elbow grease your way to these things. Like, okay, I got to be tenderhearted. Okay, I'll be tender. You can't do that. You become tenderhearted because of the flow of the Spirit that's causing you to be tenderized, causing you to have a level of power. And grieving, the Holy Spirit leads the Holy Spirit retreating. Grieving leads to him retreating. The same way, rejoicing leads to him filling. Grieving leads to retreating, and rejoicing leads to, I want to cause him to rejoice, to want to be in my place. When I want someone to be around me, I just do what I can to have them be around me because I want to be in their presence. And I don't know everything that I do is pleasing to the Holy Spirit. There's things in my life that I'm hardened to. I don't know what they are. I change them, but I know there's opinions I have. I know there's things that I'm doing that God doesn't like. It probably discourages his fullness, but I become so used to them that I probably don't even notice them. And as I do notice them, I want to change them. I just admit, man, I am not a fully flowing person. I am not a person who is always right in all situations. But as I notice something with the eyes of the Spirit and I sense it, I need to respond. For instance, a couple examples. I was on the elliptical a couple days ago, doing an elliptical daily, and beside me, somebody was watching SportsCenter, ESPN. That's always a good thing for somebody beside you to be watching, so I'm stealing some glances. And all of a sudden, I look over in the midst of this news thing of sports events, look over, and there's this big guy who's on top of another guy who's on all fours, and this guy on top is taking his fist with uppercuts straight to his head, and his head is jerking back, and blood is pouring out of his nose and out of his mouth. And I look over this, and I have to immediately look away. I feel like I grieve the spirit when I expose myself to mixed martial arts. Now, understand, before I go any further here, I am not ready to make a moral pronouncement that UFC is wrong. I'm not trying to moralize here. I could be wrong in this, but here's what I'm saying. When I see somebody being pummeled by another image of God, when a child of God is being pummeled by another, it just bothers me. And I don't know why boxing doesn't bother me. It's interesting because, you know, when I was a big boxing fan watching boxing with Mike Tyson, Larry Holmes, Sugar Ray Leonard, those kind of folks, it was interesting to me that no matter who was the champion, you always said to yourself, yeah, but there's somebody else in the world who could take him. There's somebody, well, with mixed martial arts, that's not the case. He goes, you are just the baddest dude, period. Nobody could take you. There's something that's intriguing to me about that. Yet I sense when I see that the Holy Spirit is grieved when I look at that. And so what do? I want to make an aggressive move. I want to make it, if I stay with anything long enough, I will become hardened to it and won't bother me. So I notice I want to make an aggressive move and go, I don't want to get comfortable with it. I don't want to. I sense it. Whatever it is for you, I just encourage you to notice what could grieve the spirit and just aggressively go away from it. On the other hand, as I mentioned the story last week, we walked into our friend's room that she was supposed to die soon. We walked into her hospital room and she said she was in pain. She said she had 4 months to live. And as I was interacting with her on the whole hope thing and needing to reformat her mind on hope, not hope that you're going to be healed right now, but hope that you're going on the other side of the curtain. I got the word at the end of last week's service that she didn't have to go through 4 months of pain. She went through 6 days and she was with her creator, with her full redeemer in all fullness. And I know there's some folks that would have appreciated if I had said something different, maybe thought that was insensitive or this. I've heard from some of you. You have to understand, that was a Holy Spirit obedience thing. I felt like that out of aggression, I needed to say the things that I said in a loving, tender way because I felt like she hadn't heard those. I want to make err on the side of aggression. Never err on the side of passiveness with the Spirit. Aggressively eliminate things and aggressively do things. And when you do that, Holy Spirit goes, oh my goodness, you're really serious about me. You're really serious about getting in the flow. You know, the one thing about life that's needed, it's water. It's the one thing that's missing on other planets. It's the one thing that is really the central issue, the Middle East crisis. Who controls the water? Where is that? It's the one thing on this planet, wherever there is water, there is life. And for spiritual life, spiritual maturity to happen inside of us, you must be in the place where you can be hydrated. You must be in the place where the Spirit rejoices. You must be in a place where the flow comes through you. And as Jesus said, streams of living water come bursting out of you, bursting out of your belly. Pray this happens for you this week, now and forevermore. God, I pray that we would leave here today as vessels who are more full than we came in, and we would leave today willing to overflow and spill out with people, to forgive people who haven't been forgiven, to be tenderhearted towards other people that just caused them to be angry. I pray that your fullness would dwell in the lives that are in this place. And I pray these things according to your character. Amen.